Well, the time is right now exactly 8:30, and we go now to music by my guest, Paul Mueller. You were just listening to I Saw Eternity, dating from 2012 by Welsh composer Paul Mueller. In our performance, you heard members of Tenebrae, conducted by Nigel Short, with soprano saxophonist Tyler Ricks. Well, I am indeed honored and excited, to say the least, to welcome Paul Mueller to Classical Discoveries. He will be with me all the way until 11 o'clock. Paul Mueller studied privately with William Matthias and John Pickard He then read music at the University of York and also studied at the University of Copenhagen. Paul Mueller is currently professor of composition at the University of Aberdeen. He came to wider notice when his motet Ubi Caritas et Amor was performed at the wedding of Prince William and Catherine Middleton back in 2011. He later composed the song Wherever You Are, which became the 2011 Christmas number one song on the UK singles chart. The New York Times wrote the following about my guest Paul Mueller: one of the most important composers to have emerged in Welsh music since William Matthias, a real and original talent, music of serene beauty, fastidious craftsmanship and architectural assuredness, music of deep spiritual searching that always asks questions, offers answers, and fills the listener with hope. Paul, welcome.
Marvin, it's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you, and I have to say I am thrilled, to say the least.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, I really am.
Thank you so much for coming. We will be talking about an upcoming concert featuring your music in just a little while. For now, though, share with us a bit about the work we just heard.
I Saw Eternity. It's one of my absolute favorite poems. I was born in Wales, a tiny little place connected to England, but we're so proud of ourselves. There's a number of very important poets that came out of Wales. One of them was Henry Vaughan, this great mystical writer. Mm-hmm. And I Saw Eternity is by him, those wonderful lines. I saw eternity the other night, like a great ring of pure and endless light. And for me, that conjured up musical images of circles. Mm. And so I wanted to create a piece of music that did justice to that, to create, through musical sound, the stars and the spiritual feelings we have. So you have singing the main role in that, actually, Gabriel Crouch, who's head of choral activities here at Princeton. Yeah, he did the solo there. And then this wonderful young guy called Tyler Ricks on saxophone, soprano saxophone, who's also, rather annoyingly, a fabulous soccer player and a model. Don't you just hate people like that who are good at everything?
Paul, you've done so well. I don't hate him at all. I wouldn't hate him at all. Sometimes, the talent is in certain areas, and believe me, my friend, your talent, your vocal music is amongst the most beautiful being written today.
Thank you.
And that's why I'm so honored and happy to have you here.
Well, I love coming here. I love it. There's something that speaks to me about Princeton particularly. I think it's a very beautiful place.
Well, have you been here before? Or?
I have. I have a wonderful, close musical relationship with Williamson Voices, who are at Westminster Choir College,
sure.
and their director, James Jordan. They've done a lot of my music. They did the American premiere of my Crucifixus, this great big piece for choir and orchestra, which we may be hearing a little bit.
A little bit. If we have time, we definitely
point.
Will.
So, they're very, very good friends of mine.
Well, that's great. That is wonderful. Well, let's go a little bit to the piece that we're going to hear now. Share with us a little bit about the Ave Maria.
Yes, I have almost all of my life, since the age of nine, had a deep faith. It's very interesting that my family, my father's family are Jewish and my mother's family are Christian. So I had both traditions growing up. Which is rather unusual, I think. And so I very much warmed to these beautiful words whilst I was at school. In England, I'm not so sure it's the case here in the United States, but in England, quite often, children are sent to boarding school, to what we call public school, which are really
right.
private schools.
Right.
And I was sent away at that young age to learn, same place as my father went to. And when I was there, of course, the very first few days you're there, at 8 or 9 or whatever that was, it's quite a nerve-wracking experience, and I was quite upset to be away from home. And so I decided I was going to run away, rather stupidly, and as I was running, I entered a graveyard and fell over and hurt my scuffed my knees and started to cry. But when I looked up at that moment, there was a beautiful statue in the graveyard of the Virgin Mary with her arms open. And I immediately at that point felt comforted. I felt this great warmth of motherly love. And so this Ave Maria is, in my own way, a kind of bringing through music that warmth that I felt at that point.
Well, we're going to hear that now. This is the Ave Maria, dating from 2008, by my guest, Paul Mueller. Members of Tenebrae are conducted by Nigel Short. And after we hear this other composition, we will hear the Paul Mueller story when he was young. Sounds fun. We listen now to Ave Maria.
Oh.
the very beautiful setting of Ave Maria by my guest Paul Miller, as performed by members of Tenebrae, conducted by Nigel Short. Wow, quite a beautiful piece of music. And we were just talking about, I think, something very interesting off mic, and you might want to share a little bit. I asked you, do people consider you the Welsh Eric Whittaker? And you said, yes, some people do. Would you want to expand
yes,
on that just
do.
A little bit?
Some people do. It's really interesting because I know Eric and also Morten Lauridsen, of course, similar composers. I suppose it's not... we're quite different composers writing quite different music that is connected by our love of the sensuality of harmony. Of tonal harmony.
Right.
So I think that there is enough difference between all of these composers, but actually we're joined. And as I was saying to you earlier, Susie Digby, the great English conductor, said to me some time ago now that it wasn't until the court of Elizabeth I, you know, the Tudor composers, that we ever had a group like this before. You know, so in that time, we had Thomas Tallis, Gibbons, Tompkins, all of these
the
composers.
Whole crew,
And of course, now we have these groups of composers that are across the water. So I think it's quite exciting to be part of that group, even though I'm sure all of us like to think of ourselves as quite distinct.
Oh, of course, and you are, no question. Well, Paul, now is the moment you've been waiting for. Let's go back to the beginning. When and how did you get involved in music, and were you always interested in composition?
Well, actually, goes right back to, as far as I can remember, my grandmother, my mother's mother, was an amateur singer. So I always used to listen to her sing. I mean, she was terrible in all things, to be honest. But she really enjoyed it, and she was in choirs and things. Mm-hmm. And so when I was around about 9, I had an experience. I was on, because I live on in Wales, which has got a lot of islands that surround it. We were on holiday by the beach, and I couldn't swim, so I fell into the water. And when I fell into that water, I was drowning. Mm. And at that moment, I realized that I was going to die. And a great and almighty powerful feeling and warmth came over me. Luckily, at that point, I was dragged out and unsaved. But I knew that there was something more to life than just the physical, that there was something else. And so I sought out the only thing that was available to me at that time, which was church choir. So I joined as a young boy to sing as a chorister in the local cathedral. And I don't know if you know, but the English tradition and the Welsh tradition of this is so ancient that you have the most wonderful education. So as I walked into the cathedral for the first day, there was they were singing Gibbon, C.C., The Word is Incarnate, John Rutter's What Sweeter Music, all of this gorgeous choral music. And so I knew at that point that I wanted to engage with that musical on a spiritual level. A kind of almost evangelical thing at that point. It changed somewhat as I got older. So that, yes, from the age of 9, I wanted to be a composer, and specifically a composer of sacred music, although I have written lots of things.
That's a very interesting story.
Well, it's really interesting. When I talk about... I suppose it's a
very
kind of
spiritual, very close to the heart, just very...
Well, it is, and I think music is like that. If it means anything, it comes from the heart.
Yeah, wow. Wonderful. Well, when you got interested in composition, who were some of the composers you listened to or enjoyed when you were young?
Well, as I said, the early music I enjoyed was the Tudor composers. You know, listening to Thomas Tallis, any of his pieces.
Sure.
You know, If You Love Me, or Salvata Mundi, or any of these great pieces, you can't help but be blown away. But then I had a rather pushy grandmother, as I mentioned earlier. You know, many of us do, who said, look, if you're going to study composition and be a composer, then you should study with someone. They should teach you, you know, at least the rudiments of composition.
Sure.
So she then led me to work with William Matthias, the great Welsh composer, who lived not far away from us, actually. And so he, who was very ill at that point, he had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. But he was only 57 when he died, but he had agreed to take me on as a student. And so I worked with him, and he taught me harmony and counterpoint. Mm-hmm. So his music became very important to me, and it became, even though my music doesn't sound a bit like his music.
No, it's totally different.
Totally different. Yeah. But it became very important, because here was a guy, who was a man composing, as I wanted to do, from the heart. And a joyous personality. You know, everything about him was humour and joy and fun. And his music is like that. And I knew that wasn't quite right for me, even though I'm not a miserable person. I didn't want to write that kind of music. But it connected to me. So, and then other English composers, Vaughan Williams. I mean, I mean, you can't live in Great Britain without hearing it.
Not only hearing it, but being attached to it and it's like, just loving it.
It's just like walking along in the hills and you hear this music. Elgar, of course. But then, because I was a slightly hyperactive, my mother found that there was some music that actually kept me quiet, and that was Gustav Mahler, the great symphonist.
Yeah.
She'd play Mahler 2, Mahler 3, and I would just sit and listen to the whole thing. My party piece now is, because I've memorized these pieces, is I can play the whole of Mahler 2 in piano reduction from memory.
Well, congratulations! and in memory yet.
Yeah.
And that was interesting because the Mahler 2 was my first love of Mahler. I think the last, when I was very young as a kid, I think the last 5 minutes of the last movement.
Yeah.
I think that choir with the way with the whole orchestration, that was my soul in getting into Mahler. That was my involvement with Mahler. And when I was really young, I imagined myself being Bernstein conducting it in front of an orchestra and choir. You know, so it was really exciting. But it's funny because the Mahler too is a very important work for me myself also.
It's one of those pieces that and we were speaking earlier on, that there are some pieces that just speak about everything, aren't they, you know? And Mahler, there's a wonderful interaction between Mahler and the Finnish composer Jean Sibelius, who was also a great favourite of mine, and when they talk about the symphony, where Sibelius says the symphony should be the smallest idea followed through to the ultimate conclusion, which of course his are, and then Mahler, who says, no, the symphony should be the world! Yeah.
Well, let's go on, Paul. We talked a little bit already about William Matthias, and why don't we go a little bit now to what is coming up for you in New York, and that is your concert featuring your music. This is by the New York Chamber Choir, and this is actually the group's inaugural season. New York Chamber Choir has two components, I guess you could say, to it, essentially. New York Chamber Choir and New York Chamber Choir Youth. The founder and artistic director is Alistair Hamilton. Just tell us a little bit about the background of the group, or both groups, really.
Yes, this is a fantastic new group, a small group, a chamber choir of very talented singers who really want to, and are beginning to, I mean, they've only just found it, to put forward innovative concerts in the most brilliant performances. Alistair Hamilton, who's the conductor, musical director, is quite a remarkable musician. And so already in their first season, they've worked with two living composers, Ola Jalo, the great Norwegian composer, in their first term, and now me in their second term. And so they're bringing music by living composers alongside music that's established from the repertoire in quite innovative ways. And so that also, which is the most remarkable thing, is they've started a youth choir that does the same. And later on today, I'm going to be working with this youth choir on a composition project. How do you compose if you've never composed before as a kid? So we're going to be doing that. So I think this is quite a brilliant group, and something which I think is needed.
Is important, absolutely. Yeah. Well, the concert that it is coming up will be this Saturday, June 6th at 7 p.m. It will be at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, 7 West 55th Street in New York. And you can purchase tickets online at www.chamberchoirs.nyc. And I thought for now, let's talk a little bit about the program. How many of your works? There are quite a few of your pieces.
Yeah, there's quite a lot.
Don't be bashful. Tell us all.
There's quite a few. Well, the idea of the program, when Alistair and I started chatting about what form this program might take, the idea that he had was that it would be music by royal composers. And what he means by that is composers that have written music for royal occasions. And so every single piece of music on the program is connected to a composer that has either written for a monarch or for one of the princes or so on, or for a national event. There are some pieces on the program connected to the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II, the current queen, as well as for weddings, my own, Ubi Caritas, for the wedding of Prince William and Catherine Middleton. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, as they now are, and various other things. So it seems to me that there's a real connection between the idea of joyous music. Now, what is joyous music to celebrate an occasion? People quite often say to me about my piece, which is quite subtle and gentle, that there's a sense of joy in gentleness. That just because we don't have to be shouting around, dancing on the lawn for joy, joy can be something that's inner and gentle.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the way I decided to go with my piece.
Great. So there'll be a number of your works. And we'll talk a little bit more about the concert again later on. And I thought now we would go to your Stabat Mater.
Yeah.
Right now, and there will be a section of this work on Saturday's program. This is a very personal work to you.
Yes,
tell us a little bit about it before we hear it.
It is. I've mentioned a couple of times already in this interview my grandmother, Irene, who was an enormous inspiration. I mean, there's people in all of our lives, aren't there, that that inspire us in different ways, sometimes teachers, sometimes family members. But she was the most remarkable woman, not only because she introduced me really to music, but also because she had the most wonderful heart and kindness. And whenever I saw her, I always felt full of absolute joy and loved spending time with her. She died in 2003, and I wanted in that, in my response to that,
right,
to create a piece of music that would in some way be her song. And so I composed, it's in four movements, the Stabat Mater, and the words Stabat Mater come from the text Stabat Mater Dolorosa, which is the mother stood weeping. And it's the image of the Virgin Mary at the foot of the cross as she watches her son die. It's a very powerful image for a parent to lose the child. The second movement, which is a solo soprano, was the piece that I wrote first. And that, for me, was my grandmother's voice. And so, for me, this piece is a tribute to her and a thank you to her, but also it's a tribute to mothers, really, everywhere, and the power of a mother's love.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to hear the entire Stabat Mater by my guest, Paul Mueller. We hear members of Tenebrae, conducted by Nigel Short, with soprano Grace Davidson, and we also hear the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, and this is an orchestral accompaniment, too. We listen now to Paul Mueller's Stabat Mater.